Welcome, everybody. I am Jesse Mogul, and thank you for joining us on the American Contingency Podcast. We are a united nationwide community of steadfast Americans ready for any challenge that comes our way. We inform, equip, and train so you can prepare, respond, and recover from any man-made or natural disaster or situation. And once again, I am honored to have you here for the next 30 minutes or so. And what I would love to just jump right into, because I want to keep this as succinct as possible because I got a lot of information I want to cover, is this idea of why we should be talking to people about preparedness. What does discussing preparedness look like, sound like, and feel like? And how would we go about doing the act of being a part of the growth of a preparedness community here in the United States of America and anywhere that you might be listening? And then at the very end, we'll discuss some what-if scenarios that might come up so that we can begin to really integrate this idea of discussing preparedness within our families, our neighborhoods, our communities, and the world at large, really. Because it comes down to this idea that we can be as prepared as we want to be, but if our next door neighbor is not prepared, and they come knocking on our door 5 days after the electricity went out and all of their supplies have been burned through, and now they're hungry and they're thirsty and they're knocking on the door. And this is Bob and Barbara Jennings next door, and you love them to death and they've been good friends for years. Are you realistically going to be able to shut them out? Are you realistically going to be able to not listen to their cries for help on the other side of the door? Now, we could go the other side where they're not people that you like on the other side of the door. And yes, I have no doubt that many of you have weapons. I would doubt that many of you have ever actually shot them at another human being. And you might think that you're prepared to do so. You might have even trained and practiced shooting a gun at a target to make sure that you would be on point if you found yourself in that situation. But when we discuss the realistic opportunity to harm another human being with a weapon in order to protect yourself and your family, you can hope that adrenaline will take over and that you will be able to aim right and take care of what you need to take care of to protect yourself. But then there's also the real world emotional trauma that can happen from pulling a weapon on somebody else and being in a position where using it means your life or theirs. Certainly, we would prefer that everybody just was polite toward one another during man-made or natural disasters or situations, but we do know that there are those that are nefarious who would rather just take from others than plan themselves. I mean, every post-apocalyptic movie has that roving marauder, cavalry, caravan, people going around just wreaking havoc on other people. Barring a major collapse of our government and of the worldwide institutions that have been laid down before us, more than likely, the scenarios that we will come across in the near future will be those caused by man. Perhaps it's like whenever they spilled all the toxins in the river that happened up in Ohio not too long ago. It could be the fires, tragedies that happened in Maui. It could be hurricanes. It could be blizzards. It could be tornadoes, earthquakes. So these are the kinds of things that we are going to be facing soon. I mean, when we're talking about man-made disasters, look no further than the Baltimore Key Bridge disaster. And then I believe recently a barge struck a bridge in Oklahoma. So how can we begin to have conversations with other people about all the potential dangers, the real world scenarios that can happen that would cause us to want to be prepared and to have others around us prepared? So for this episode, let's dive into why we should be talking about preparedness, what talking about preparedness would look, feel, and sound like, how to go about doing that, and then some what-ifs at the end just to expand our thoughts around this. Now, the whys. Well, I mean, look no further than any kind of natural disaster or situation that has occurred in your area or in this country or in the world even recently or long ago. There are plenty of examples for why we should talk about this. When we have the opportunity to expand people's minds around the idea of just having 3 days of water and food, it's interesting, even in my own family, how many people will make fun of some of us for wanting to be prepared and that we're preppers and we're doomsdayers, and allow that to be their thought process for the moment. But step outside of that and ask yourself, what might be going on inside their minds to just so easily label the idea of preparedness as doomsday prepper kind of mentality? What is it they potentially could be afraid of? Why is this important? Because when people aren't prepared, then they will suffer. And as we have heard from some of the people who've come on this show, do you really want to have to say I'm sorry to your family when they're all thirsty and hungry? The why around talking to people about preparedness is that situations will come up that we do not foresee. That any given Tuesday kind of disaster or situation where you might just have to take a detour to school. When I ask people why they think that they should be thinking about preparedness, a lot of it comes down to what they've heard other communities had to go through. Well, what if that happens to you? For some of us, we might feel drawn to not talk about why we prepare because we don't want people to know how prepared we are and how much supplies we have. But when push comes down to shove, if something goes really sideways and it's a member of your family or a good friend, the likelihood that they're going to end up calling you or calling upon you or figuring out a way toward you, to you at your house, is pretty likely. Especially if you're the kind of person who likes to share about their growth and what they're doing to protect and prepare. So the likelihood that people who are close to you are going to know that you have been preparing is pretty high. You're very likely that you will have already shared some facets of your planning. So when you ask yourself, why should you embark upon a conversation with those that you care about and love around preparedness, it's so that they can have the contingencies in place for themselves. What if they can't get to you? What if there's too much debris, their cars run out of gas, the phone lines are down? Why you want to talk to people about this is because you don't want them suffering away from you. If they only could get to you, they wouldn't be suffering. When we emphasize the crucial role of preparedness, ensuring safety and well-being for our loved ones, it becomes our commitment to them to bring these conversations up. Even if they want to do the mockery and a bit of the laughing about it, it's important that we frame it in such a way that it gets through to them. We can underpin our values of responsibility and foresight and preparedness. But some people may have different values around this stuff. When we get into the how section, we'll start touching into how you can bring their values into the conversation. But as we're finishing up this why area of this podcast, I just want it to be very much highlighted that the preparedness protects family stability. That's why we're looking to bring this conversation up to other people. When we create a preparedness culture, there becomes this collective approach of preparedness within our families, our communities, our churches. If there's ever been a place that I would think that you could become very comfortable discussing this stuff with, I would think that it would be with your family, in your community, and especially the church, because this is already a place where like-minded souls go to find comfort in their spirituality and their religiosity. Why don't we just bring in an essence of being prepared for those unexpected, unforeseen challenges that come up in life? Why do we want to discuss preparedness? Because we don't want to be the only ones prepared. We don't want our loved ones and people we care about to suffer simply because we were afraid to bring up a topic that's so important to us, but yet we have not figured out a way to discuss it with other people we care about. So what does discussing preparedness potentially look like for you? Well, there are obviously going to be our categories. You don't have to go much further than our categories to immediately come up with talking points. Communication, medical, security, mobility, food and water, income and economics, health, community leadership, outdoor skills, situational awareness, defense, and home and family. If you're a member of the American Contingency, then as the writer of the blogs, I will tell you that two or three years into this now, I have covered every single one of those categories multiple times in many different ways. And there can absolutely be one of those blogs that can spark a conversation between you and your loved ones, where you can specifically start to highlight areas where you can discuss with them preparedness. because it's in the identification of key preparedness topics that the conversation can start. So when we ask ourselves, well, what does talking to them about preparedness look, feel, and sound like? Our categories. Through the categories, you can begin to personalize the conversation. So if you live in the Northeast, talking about blizzards or torrential downpours or flooding very much would work. That's very congruent with your environment. Versus out West, where drought or sandstorms or earthquakes would very much be the topic of conversation there. Down in the Southeast, we could be talking more about tornadoes and floods and hurricanes. But it's in the personalization of the conversation that the people get drawn into it. See, first you want to start off with the why it's important so that you can get them motivated to want to listen. Well, this is why we should be preparing. Look what happened in the community next to us, or look what happened in the state next to us, or look what happened to all those people in that state not too far away, or all the way across the country. That thing happened there, and now you hear about the community waiting for FEMA to come in, and everybody's thirsty and hungry. Well, I don't want to be thirsty and hungry, do you? No, I don't want to be thirsty and hungry. Do you want to take care of your family? I absolutely want to take care of my family. That's why we should be talking about this. You are right. Well, then what do we need to do? Well, first, let's figure out what areas we need to be prepared for. Our categories, again, a great launching off point. What kind of weather happens in your environment, in your region, is another great launching point. Incorporating real life examples, historical facts, things that have happened in the past in your region, another great launching off point. Well, you remember when those tornadoes happened in Huntsville back at the beginning of the teens? Man, I'm going to tell you what, it was like a community without electricity and water and food and refrigeration and air conditioning for like 2 weeks. Man, that was horrible. Well, what could we do? Well, we could do this, that, and the other. Well, how are we going to prepare for that? Now you start getting people more involved in the conversation. See, you start off with the why we should be prepared with those scenarios that have happened to other places, with the focus on taking care of loved ones and family, or even yourself. Like, do you really want to have to eat only beans and rice for like 2 weeks? Mike Lott talked about that whenever he was on. He's like, yeah, I'm sure I could eat beans and rice for 2 weeks, but is that really the diet you want me to have around you for the next 2 weeks? So when we talk about why preparedness matters, when you talk about this with other people, draw them in a motivational way by bringing up examples of what's happened around them or what's happening in the news. When we get into the what of discussing preparedness, that's when we start to identify key terms and categories, facts, historical context. Where has this already happened? How can we bring in a focus and an attention to it now? When we really look from a bird's eye view at preparedness, it's really just making sure that you have a lot of supplies that you probably would already want to have anyways. Yeah, I mean, do I necessarily need to have 50 gallons of water in my garage? Not really, because most of the time I can just turn on the faucet and there it comes. But over the winter, my pipes froze because I didn't keep the water running, which meant that my filter in my refrigerator wasn't working anymore, and we needed to have water, and I had a ton of tap water saved up in gallon jugs, and I had a ton of actual water I'd want to drink saved up in jugs that I had purchased. So I had all the water I needed in the kitchen where the water was frozen. The rest of the house, it was fine. But when it came to the kitchen, when we needed to wash dishes and take care of some stuff and definitely drink water, thankfully I had all of this water to fall back on. It wasn't even that big of a natural disaster or emergency. Like, it was an ice storm that came through, and for 5 days, our water was frozen in the kitchen. We tried our darndest to get it to come back, and luckily nothing broke, but we definitely learned, make sure you're having a little bit of warm water come through those pipes as well. But it wasn't even that major of a thing, and yet having that water came in super clutch. We couldn't leave the house for 5 days because of the ice all over the roads. So when we start talking about what preparedness looks like, it can be something as simple as that. The key components. Do you have drinking water? Do you have toilet water? Do you have water to give your animals, to wash your feet, to wash your armpits, or other parts of the body we should definitely be cleaning on the regular? When we get into the what of preparedness, we want to get people motivated behind it. We need to bring them context, facts, definitions, terms, the categories, the kinds of supplies that we would want. If you've gotten them motivated to have the conversation with you through a strong, powerful, this is why we should be prepared, getting into the what starts breaking it apart into little pieces that somebody who isn't as familiar with it as you are can actually start to wrap their mind around it. If we just introduce the idea of preparedness and jump straight into the how, the people who are why motivated, who want to understand why this matters to them, why they should care, why they should be motivated to go spend money that they may or may not have on supplies that they may or may not need in the foreseeable future. When we get to the why people first, we motivate and we influence to continue the conversation. And you can do this with your family, your neighbor, whomever. When we get into the what, which is the next step, we start breaking it down. As I've just said, and I'm getting ready to move us over to the how section, is that it's terms, it's context, it's the categories, it's the kinds of supplies that you would want. This is what we would be looking to get in our stash, in our cache, in our garage, in our basement, in the attic, wherever you think would be the best place to keep it, being mindful that if one of the things that you're seeking to prepare for is a house fire or a wildfire, that wherever you end up putting your bug out bag in your important paperwork and documents that you want to be able to get out with, I'm not so sure that deep, dark basement or up in the attic is the best place. So make sure that certain resources, certain materials that you would need are kept very handy so that you can literally just grab them and go. And that might be in the garage in a certain Tupperware, one of those big old bins. So if something goes sideways, boom, you're able to grab the photo albums and your passports and birth certificates and the things that would just be an annoyance to have to go back out and get your insurance documents for your home. You should definitely keep those and not trust that the website's going to give you the most accurate information, because website pages can be changed. Documents in your hands are hard copies. So that's the what of preparedness, the essential preparation topics, tailoring the conversation, real life examples, and resources that we would want, right? That your discussion talking points and checklists and the kinds of services that you'd want. Save those in your phone, but also save those in a Ziploc bag that would stay dry in your bug out container so that regardless of what might be happening, you know that you've got all of these numbers ready when you need them. So how are we going to discuss this? Well, some of my favorite ways are the imagine if and the as if scenarios. Well, imagine if our community got hit by a huge storm. Imagine if our electricity went out. Imagine if on the way to work, your primary travel destination mode of operation was a bridge that got taken out by a boat. How would we get to work? How would we feed our families and have sustenance for them if a storm came upon us and we weren't able to get to the store? Having that 50 gallons of water was clutch because I drink a lot of water. And I don't want to just be stuck drinking bathtub or sink water. I want to drink the kind of water I want to drink. I would never have thought that water was going to come in handy when the ice storm first hit. We'd gone to the grocery store. We bought a ton of food. We even prepared with things that we could cook on the grill in case we did lose our electricity for a period of time. From that, I went off and ended up buying a little like this rubber thing for inside the bathtub. So if I ever needed to fill up the bathtub, I would be able to utilize this, like it's sort of like a rubber balloon that goes inside the bathtub so that the water stays basically not in the bathtub. So, you know, if you haven't cleaned the bathtub, you may not necessarily want to be using water for your cooking or your drinking straight out of a dirty bathtub, but also having a campfire stove so that we could heat up some coffee in the morning. Having a solar-powered and a crank-powered transistor radio that's got a lantern on it. Went out and bought some of these MREs made by a company called 4Patriot because they had like 72 hours worth of food, and I got like three different ones so that all three people in the house would have food for 3 days. They've even got like a 30-day package, right? At one point, I'm going to do like a whole an opening of that and talk about this product because I opened it up. I was super excited about it. Sort of like how I was excited about the first utility knife I bought and like the 20 tools that were on it. I was like, this is amazing. I never knew there could be so many things on a utility knife. Like Swiss Army knives have nothing on this. But the imagine if scenarios are really handy when we start discussing the hows. Well, imagine if a tornado was coming. This is how we could prepare for it. Imagine if we knew that a hurricane was coming. This is how we could prepare for it. We go and get some plywood, and we would be able to screw it over our windows. And then when we take it down, we would keep all the screws in a Ziploc baggie, duct taped to the plywood and in the garage, so that next time this happens, we don't have to go looking for any of the screws. We already know we're prepared. In fact, we'll even put a drill bit head in there so that we can make sure that we are even more prepared. And maybe it's even one of those screwdrivers that sort of works like a ratchet, so that in case the battery for your drill isn't working, you've already drilled the holes in the side of your house. Now let's just take those screws and put that plywood back up. A lot of preparation the first time will take a lot more time the first time than it will the second time. So when we get into the hows of discussing preparation, we want to discuss that how can we not only set ourselves up for success now, but how can we set ourselves up for success each time afterward? Whether it's having guides that discuss preparedness, addressing fears, planning together, this is where we can start to discuss tips for starting conversations. And Tom has come on the show, Noel's come on the show, Danny's come on the show, Lori, Mike Lott, we've had a lot of people come on the show and discuss different ways of starting conversations. And some of the best ones are, well, imagine if what happened in Baltimore or Oklahoma or Minnesota or Idaho were to happen here. Well, what would we do? Wow, that's a good question. What would we do? Well, here's some ideas I've thought of. Why don't you chime in and throw some of your ideas out? Now we start getting into the how of what we're going to do to be prepared. Then we move the how into the actual supplies, where we would buy them, how we would save for them, how we would store them, how would we put together an emergency kit, how would we put together a bug out bag. Now you can start getting into the details. You can start going to the big box stores with a shopping cart and a list. You can start going on some of the online shopping platforms and putting things in the cart and slowly but surely getting the ones that are the most pertinent to the season you are currently about ready to experience. You know, I don't really need snowshoes right now in April. That being said, if snowshoes are on sale or a ski outfit's on sale 50% off, that's normally $500 that will keep me warm even in minus 20 degree weather. If I find that on sale 50% off in May, oh, I'm buying it. Because I'd rather buy something when it's half off that I know is going to work than waiting for it to be full price. Again, still knowing that it's going to work, but now paying double for it. So buying things off season is a great idea too. But definitely buying things when they're not needed would be like the first tip and recommendation I could make. Because as much as they're not supposed to raise prices of supplies needed to board up windows before a hurricane hits, they're still going to have to worry about all the other people who thought ahead, who purchased up all that plywood at the big box store. And now you're what, buying it off some dude on the corner of the intersection, and you know that guy's got a markup on it. So when we discuss how we're going to become prepared, that's when you start getting into real life scenarios. That's when you start making up lists. That's when you start talking through the steps of boarding up the windows or of filling up the bathtub with water or of the bug out bag or where the birth certificates are going to be stored, where your favorite memorabilia and collectibles from your childhood are going to be saved so that you can get them out quickly. I remember when Tom was on, he talked about when I lived in California telling me to go get a storage unit like 100 miles outside of town that would have gas and supplies. There's another opportunity for how you could be prepared. What are some places away from your main environment that are on the way toward a destination you would potentially be aiming for? For me, it was aiming towards Oklahoma and Alabama because that's where my family is. So he's like, yeah, well, you could find a spot and hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Los Angeles, and you could put some resources there. And I ultimately didn't do that because I just chose to move away, but still, that was part of the how planning. And for those how learners out there, they're going to be very much interested in how they can get their hands dirty, how they can get into the nitty-gritty, how they can start to purchase things that will help them feel more safe and ready for the unforeseen, for the any given Tuesdays. This is imperative that you're thoughtful and you are action-oriented when it comes to the how list. We have lots of trainings and lots of blog posts and just lots of resources within our community of people who have already done this. I mean, even going back to the ham radio episode I did recently, you know, how can you be more communicative and connected to people in your immediate area through ham radios? I mean, there is some great how, but why should I care about ham radio? Because I want information when it's not as easily accessible. And ham radio operators tend to be very plugged in. What is a ham radio? Well, we discussed that in the episode, right? It can either be a handheld device or it can be something much larger that would go somewhere in your house. How would you set up a ham radio? How would you get certified and licensed? Information like that is available on our members portal. Everything that you want to discuss can be laid out for somebody in a why, what, how format. This is why it's important. This is why you should care. This is what it's made up of: context, history, facts, data, categories. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to go to the store and we're going to buy 50 gallons of water. We're going to buy a bunch of MREs. We're going to buy a campfire stove and make sure that it's always operational and working. We're going to have a backup propane tank for our grill. We're going to have these resources so that when we need them, they're ready. And then what if? So what if is the opportunity for you to really go into the deep imagine if scenarios where you start talking like as if. So what if somebody says, you know, I'm just not much into preparedness. I've always wanted to get into it, but I just never knew where to start. Well, let's just imagine that you are somebody who's into preparedness. Just imagine as if you are someone who's been doing this for some time. What do you think you'd want? What do you think your family would need? When we look to address skepticism, we can do it in this area of what if, where we really start to use our imagination to expand the conversation beyond the traditional clickbait that shows up about preparedness and preppers and survivalism on the internet. Like, yeah, I mean, we might chuckle at some of those things, and certainly there are people within the, you know, broader sense of survivalism and preparedness that, you know, I mean, they might be, you know, judged as goofy. I can already just like picture somebody who like lives in a bunker, but you know what? To each his own. I don't judge anybody how they choose to be prepared. You do you. You prepare the way you want to be prepared. And when we want to address skepticism and provide reassurance to our family members, to our loved ones, to our community, this is where, when we discuss preparedness under the what if category, well, what if that were to happen? Oh, that could never happen. Well, it happened over there. It could happen here. And if it's that preposterous, maybe there's something even more touchable that could actually happen soon. Like trying to talk to somebody about an earthquake that might happen in Indiana, and that area has been known to have earthquakes, it probably might potentially fall on deaf ears. But flooding? Tornadoes? So somebody finds a scenario with a lot of skepticism, then just reel it in and touch upon ones that are more action-oriented, that could more recently have happened or could happen. We don't need to go all the way to the deep end in order to get somebody excited about preparedness, because once we get them involved, the natural excitement to continue will take over. It just might take weeks or months. It could even take years. Somebody might start off with just a couple flashlights and a transistor radio and 5 gallons of water, but it's better than no transistor radio, flashlight, and water. When you want to illustrate the impact of emergencies and the importance of preparedness, this is where the exploration of scenarios allows you to inspire the preparedness mindset. We encourage adaptability, continuous learning, empowerment. You want to leave a legacy of preparedness to your kids, to your loved ones, to those that you care about. In the what if area is where innovative solutions, adaptability, flexibility, scenario planning, this will absolutely begin to really formulate the overall groundwork for the steps ahead. As you foster a preparedness mindset in yourself, in your loved ones, in your community, at your church, that inspiration to get people proactively moving toward preparedness with that adaptability and that learning mindset, that feeling of empowerment, you can inspire that, but they have to motivate themselves to go do it. It's through this conversation we've just had in this podcast where you can begin to fire people up. Start with why preparedness is important, why it matters to them, why it will matter to them even more once they start to really get into it. Home and family and security. Being somebody who values preparedness and foresight. Most people want to be prepared and they want to plan ahead. I mean, think about how much time some families will put into the planning of a family vacation. We should be putting at least equal amount of attention towards having supplies at the ready when we need them. When we get into the why, you can touch into the values that people might have around loving their family, of a solidarity within the community, of being someone who is prepared for the unforeseen and the very seen. Then we move into the what, where we start to break down what's happened in our community before or what's happened in our region before. Go through examples in context of the season that it was in or the time of the year or whatever it might unfold based off of your region and environment. Bring in facts. Bring in definitions and terminology, because the what learners out there want to have factual data to wrap their hands around. Once they know that this stuff is a possibility or an imminent threat, and that they realize that the impact on their home and their family and their bank account and their potential job and career could all be put in flux because of a natural disaster or situation, they're going to be more readily open to the conversation. How? Well, if you don't believe that you know enough to really expand upon the conversation of how to be prepared, then go find community leaders. Find somebody within the AMCON membership portal who is actively going out there and explaining to people why they should be prepared. Talk to your loved ones about how you can begin to save money to buy a generator or how you'll be able to store things in a tiny one-bedroom apartment. There's always a way if you want to find the way. How are we going to be prepared? Start laying down the ideas. You can come to our membership site and learn new things. You can go on YouTube and Google certain things. Hundreds of millions of hours are being uploaded to YouTube like every day. No matter what you've thought of, 10,000 people have probably already put a video up of it on YouTube. There are ways to learn and then go out and do. How are you going to be prepared? How are you going to help other people be prepared that you care about? Hell, you may not even like your neighbor. You just may not want them knocking on your door because they're thirsty. Teach them how to be prepared so they leave you alone. And within the what if section, there are going to be the people who really want to expand upon the idea of preparedness. And if you get a lot of questions from somebody about what if this and what if that, that lets you know that you've gotten them fired up, that they're ready to figure this out. They're ready to take action. Embrace all of those questions. Really listen to what they're inquiring from you. Because it might be in those questions you realize that you might even have some holes in your planning, or they might alert you to cool new ways you could be talking about this stuff. But those what if people out there are going to expand the traditional roles of preparedness. They are going to expand the way you see it. They're going to expand the way other people see it. It's through the questions, it's through the answers, it's through the exploration that we all unite as one community, thinking of preparedness and helping and guiding each other toward that destination. We'll never fully arrive there. I highly doubt that there will ever be a scenario where you'll be able to say, I absolutely positively had every single last thing I could have ever wanted. But we certainly hope that we've prepared enough that we have what we need. Getting all the desires and the wants is one thing. Getting the things that we need, those are attainable. Because we need water and food and warmth and shelter. We need that feeling of comfort that comes from communication and knowing what's going on out there, even if that means our phones or our internet's down. There's things that you're going to want. And I can assure you it's more than just rice and beans. Have these conversations with people you care about. Make sure that they understand how easy it can be to really get involved in the habit and behaviors of preparedness. Sure, we could lay down a shopping list that's got a $1,000 price tag on it, or we could just simply grab $10 or $20 worth of stuff every time we're at the grocery store. so that we're a little bit more prepared. I went and got that four Patriot stuff because they advertised on the NFL Network on my radio station in my car that they were offering a buy one, get two free. Well, I thought, well, that's pretty convenient because there's three people in my house. So now we have 72 hours worth of food. Certainly, I'd like to have more than 72 hours, but 72 hours is a pretty good start. It's important to me that I at least have some supplies. I mean, I have them all, but I have some. And I encourage you to start right now, making up a list, going through it, and figuring out what you can get so that you can begin to create your own preparedness stash. And for those in your family whom you love, do your best to get through to them. Discuss why it's important. Discuss what they can start to do. Discuss how they can start to store it or manage it. And then discuss all the different scenarios in the what-if area for why this is still important to them. It is up to us to step into a community leadership role, not to wait for somebody else to fill it. Step into it yourself, because clearly you care, or you wouldn't listen to this show. You wouldn't be a member of American Contingency. You care, so step into the leadership role, because there are people out there who want to know, and you might be the very person who can get through to them. So when you're ready to build the skills, the network, the confidence to be ready for whatever comes next, join us at AmericanContingency.com. We're here when you're ready. We'll keep the fire going for you so you can find your way. See you next time. Bye-bye.